boys and girls, have you ever heard stories from your mom or dad, or maybe from your grandparents, about very significant events? Maybe you heard some of their stories and histories about World War II, whether it was soldiers fighting in the war, whether it was survivors of the concentration camp. Maybe you remember them tell you particular histories about marvelous events, and you thought, what would have been like to be there? Or maybe for some of you who are students of history, you've noticed the tremendous difference there can be between an event that happens at the time, which maybe you thought was important but didn't know how important, versus the way an event will be viewed so many years later. There are times you are right in the crux of what is a history-making event, but you didn't realize it. It's only after people look back 10, 15, 20, 25 years, maybe further, they begin to see how important this event was. Well, our Lord Jesus tells us exactly how significant a particular event will be, even before it took place. He doesn't have to look back on it, looking at the history. And he doesn't even have to live through it. He knows before it comes. And that event that we hope to consider, particularly on our Ascension Day, is his returning to heaven after he has risen victoriously from the grave. We find this morning in John chapter 14, verses 2 and 3, our Lord Jesus' own view of his ascension. And his view of his ascension is all about being together. Him being with his Father. And us being with him. And us being with his Father. That's the significance of his ascension for him. And for us. Well, the Lord's ascending, we see this as firstly to his Father. John chapter 14, verse 2, he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." That's the first thing we're told. The context is one of them having troubled hearts. They're scared, they're unsettled, they don't know what's going to happen, their life is going to change, even after their life changed before when he called them to follow him, and their hearts are troubled. They're not at peace. "Let not your heart be troubled," he said. "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." He says, trust me, trust me. You are not at peace. You are disturbed. You are anxious and stressed. But he says, trust me. Trust me. And why? Because he is going to his Father. We'll see further, he's going to prepare a place. And further, so that we would be with him. But notice the Lord Jesus is bringing his people peace. And the first piece of that peace, you might say, is that he goes to his Father. Well, why? Why is that significant he goes to his Father? It says quite strikingly, as he says, "Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And then he says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." Well, what's significant about his Father and his Father's house? For him. Because if it's going to be significant and important to us, it has to be important to him first. Why? Well, for three reasons, and we could see more. Searching the scriptures, mining the sermon that the Lord Jesus is speaking in John 14, 15, and 16, but we'll just consider three briefly. The first is he is completing his work. He is completing his work. He is going to go back to his Father. He is going to die, rise, and ascend And as we'll consider, Lord willing, on Ascension Day, he ascends victoriously into heaven as the gates, as it were, open to receive him as a mighty king and conqueror. Significant for him because he's completing his work, returning to his Father. When you're done with your work, where do you go? You go home. Dad goes to work. Whether he is building a house, whether he's doing taxes, whether he's teaching at the school, he goes to work. And what does he do when he is finished? Comes home. And what does your Father love to do when he comes home? Talk to you, spend time with you, and be with you. That's what he wanted to do. But in order to provide for you, so he could be with you, to provide your food, your clothes, your shelters, what did he have to do? He had to go to work. He had to go to work so he could be with you. That's what our Lord Jesus is bringing to completion. But secondly, we can say further, the significance of it for him is that the Spirit will come. In order for him to give us who we need, the Holy Spirit, he has to go away. He says as much directly and expounds upon it in the course of John 14, 15, and 16. If he didn't go away, the Comforter, the Strengthener, the Peace Bringer, the one to come alongside, the one to testify of him, the one to bring Jesus to mind, the one to lead them in all truth, would not come. So he has to leave so the Spirit can come. That's significant for him. And thirdly, we could say, and lastly, and this is where we will briefly turn to another portion of God's Word, because it fits so beautifully the emphasis in his language, as we'll see further about why he's going to prepare a place. In John chapter 17, he is going away, and the significance of his ascending to his Father is so we would see his glory. In John 17, verse 24, he says, as he is praying, Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Notice how beautifully those words fit in the context of chapter 14, verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. Why? That they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. He wants us to see the glory he had with the Father before he came. And that is why he ascends to his Father. Well, how is that significant for us? We can see those things are all significant for the Lord Jesus, but how are they significant for us? Well, first of two things we'll briefly consider. First, we don't need to doubt of our acceptance, do we? We don't need to doubt of our acceptance, do we? Maybe some of your friends have said, can I come over to your house and play? And what do you say? I don't know. Let me go ask my dad. Maybe you want your friends to come with you on a trip. Maybe it's a long holiday, maybe a short holiday. What do you need to do? You need to go ask your dad. And then your friend has to go ask his dad. You have to ask. And you ask the person in authority, don't you? And what happens if your dad says yes? If your dad says yes, what's the result? Well, they can come over and play. You can come along, or they can come along on the trip. Dad said yes. If our Lord Jesus goes into the presence of his Father And he goes in the presence of his Father, having completed his work, desirous that we would see his glory. If he goes to his Father as he prayed and says, "Father, I want them to be with me and with thee." Will the Father deny anything to the Son? The Son, his whole life long, had the proclamation, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." His Son, who in an act of obedience and love to his Father gave his very life upon the cross and will rise victoriously from the grave as we considered on Easter. Will he deny his Son? As we'll consider on Ascension Day, as we consider from the Psalms how he gloriously ascends victorious as a mighty conqueror, and heaven must open to him because he has been faithful. You think his Father would deny him? Absolutely not. The Heavenly Father is more ready to heed the call of his Son, to answer the petitions of his Son, than even your earthly father, no matter how much he loves you, is eager to answer yours. We need not doubt of our acceptance. We need not doubt of our acceptance. If he ascends to the Father and he goes to prepare a place, we'll be able to come. More surely than your dad or your friend's dad saying, "It's okay, you can come over." So much more when the victorious Son of God in the flesh ascends into heaven and his Father is well pleased with his sacrifice. So much more for the sake of Jesus will he accept you. Doesn't make a difference how big a sinner you are. Doesn't make a difference how horrible a person you've been. Doesn't make a difference how many things you've left undone that you should have done. It doesn't make a difference. In the name and for the sake of the Son and his blessed work, we need not doubt of being accepted with the Father. Do you doubt of being accepted with the Father for Jesus' sake? Some people really do. They really do. Some people even doubt they'd be accepted by their own fathers. Maybe you felt that. Even some of you who are older. Maybe even some of you whose fathers have passed on and died. You never felt accepted by your father. You never felt good enough for your father. You really never felt maybe that he would receive you for who you are. It's a very challenging thing. You never have to worry about that with God the Father. You never have to worry about that with God the Father. Regardless of you. You never worry about it with God the Father for the sake of his Son. If he accepts Jesus as he promised, he will accept sinners in Jesus' name. That firstly, why it's significant for us that he is going to his Father, that we need not doubt acceptance with his Father. But we could say another way, the surety of our reception. That we will be welcomed in. Consider with me together Psalm 145. Psalm 145. This is how the Lord Jesus will be accepted. I'm running ahead to this evening. Sorry about that. My evening service is from Psalm 145. How does the Psalms proclaim Jesus will be accepted into heaven? Maybe you know the song. "Ye gates, lift your heads, glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way." And who will they receive? Maybe that Psalter you've sung your whole life. "The King of all glory shall enter in state." Who is the King of all glory? the Lord mighty in battle. Have you ever seen people receive a king? By the way, did you know what's special about tomorrow? It's Victoria Day. That's the day Canada officially celebrates the Queen's birthday. When the Queen comes, what will happen? There'll be TV reporters who come. There will be policemen who come. They will set aside and open up streets so people don't block the way of the Queen. She will go to her official residence and she will stay there. Will anyone deny the Queen? There are people waiting to meet the Queen. They practice how to address her, the words to use. They practice how to dress. They practice how to shake her hand or not shake her hand, or how to give her the flowers or not give her the flowers. There's no question. The Queen will be received. And what about all those people who come with the Queen? Her reception, her entourage, the people who come with her. Whether it's her husband, whether it's her security people, whether it was her family, whether it was dignitaries, whether it was officials, are they going to be stopped? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. That's why it's amazing to think of the privileges of a sinner who is drawn by the Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, because they would never come to Him on their own, that they will be welcomed into heaven, a guaranteed reception with the Father for the sake of the Son. They need not doubt of acceptance because they are guaranteed of reception. What an amazing thing to think about. That's why it's significant for us. And we see this further, this idea that we will certainly be received in the very fact He is going away. He's going to His Father's house where there are many mansions. Why? To prepare a place. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. He's going to go prepare a place. Where? Where? Well, in His Father's house. We'll consider two things about in His Father's house. The first thing is it's prepared. It's prepared by Jesus. It's getting ready. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. What do you do to get a place ready? If you're going to have someone over, what do you do to prepare it? You know what I know some people do? They bake cookies. They know someone's going to come over, so what do? They mix up the butter and the flour and the chocolate chips and all the other marvelous things that go into a cookie, and they make cookies. You know what else some people do? They vacuum. They clean the walls. They clean the windows. They get everything ready. They make sure all the toys are put away. They rearrange the furniture. They get everything ready. Maybe they decorate. It's a special occasion. You have family come over, so what do? Maybe family that's been from far away, and you hang a big sign that says, Welcome. You prepare the place. In a much grander, greater, and better way, that is what our Lord Jesus is doing. He's preparing a place. He's getting it ready. He's getting it ready. That's why He left. What does that tell you about, like we've considered, whether or not you'll be received? About whether or not you'll be accepted? If Jesus is going ahead to get it ready, it tells you you'll be welcome. Somebody invites you over to their house and they say, Come on over. I'll get everything ready. What does that mean to you? No, you stay away. Maybe you've felt something that makes absolutely no sense. Sometimes we feel things that aren't always right. People will say, come over anytime. And you think, yeah, they don't mean it. Somebody says, it'd be really great to have you over. Let's find a day. And you think, well, they don't really mean it. They don't want me to come over. Even though everything they said, everything they've done is entirely contrary to how you feel or what you think. When people say, come on over, we'll get everything ready. We'll have the patio set. We'll fire up the barbecue. We'll make drinks. It'll be fun. Come on over. And you think, oh no, they don't want me to come. Where's the problem? It's with you, isn't it? Because every other indication is that you're welcome. And you have no reason to think they don't mean it. So much more when the Lord Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you. Do you think he doesn't mean it? Do you think he doesn't understand the significance of his own ascension? People who live through serious events may not understand how significant they are at the time, but sometimes they do. I understood right away how significant it was when terrorists crashed planes into the Twin Towers in New York City. I knew it. My mother, when she was a little girl, knew how significant it was when JFK got assassinated. I see people that know from their own experience what it was when the soldiers finally came in and liberated their town to deliver them from Nazi occupation. They knew how significant that was. So much more our Lord Jesus. He knows how significant his ascension is and what the purpose of it is. And we ought to believe him. That's what he says. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. That's the solution for a troubled and an anxious heart. To trust him when he says, you are welcome. I prepare a place for you. You know, there's another thing, though, about the Father's house. Not only is it a prepared place, but it's a big place. It's a really big place. It says, in my Father's house are many mansions, many resting places, many big rooms, many places to abide. In my Father's house are many mansions. And sometimes I think we take that for granted. You drive around through the valley and you see some really big houses, don't you? Really big houses people have built. And you can just imagine how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms must be in such a place. Maybe you've driven around town and you've seen in town in Chilliwack these new business office buildings or these new apartment buildings that have gone up. Whether they were built one little structure at a time, like some of the housing provided to help the homeless, or brand new apartment buildings. Maybe some of you have even sold some of those apartment buildings. Maybe some of you have even built some of those buildings. It boggles my mind. How do you organize all the bathrooms? How do you organize all the bedrooms? How do you do that? So much space. But the scripture uses other language for this. One commentator pointed it out in his analysis of these words of the Lord Jesus. He says, other language used for the place the Lord Jesus provides is a country. God's people seek a heavenly country, like Abraham on pilgrimage, as it were. Another example people use in the scriptures, and we've been able to consider together, is a city. We saw that together in Hebrews when we considered together what it meant to live and be part of Mount Zion rather than being on Mount Sinai. We considered it together, a city, when we thought about not only Christian navigation, but Christian genealogy and who our mother was. Was it Sarah or was it Hagar? Were we children of promise or were we children of the flesh? Were we from Jerusalem above or from Jerusalem below? We are people that look for a city. And the book of Revelation, boys and girls, do you remember what it is that will come down from heaven in the great marriage supper of the Lamb? What will come down from heaven? A city. A city. Imagine that. When our Lord Jesus talks about in his Father's house are many mansions, it's not just a big house in the valley. It's not just an apartment building. Other imagery is a city coming down from heaven. Our Lord Jesus is preparing it for us, that we would behold his glory. And in the book of Revelation, how is it described in the marriage supper of the Lamb? The city comes down and God's dwelling will be with men. He ascends to prepare a place, as it were. And if we continue with the imagery of Revelation and Galatians and Hebrews, the city comes down and we live with him forever in it. Is there enough room for you in a big house, an apartment building, in a city, in a country? There's plenty of room. There's plenty of room for you and for anyone who would come to him. For anyone. It's a blessed picture. Notice the emphasis of his Father's house is not only it's prepared, but that there's plenty of room. Plenty of room. Don't ever doubt if there's room in the Father's house for the likes of you. Jesus prepared it for the likes of you. And there is certainly plenty of room. And that's another amazing thing about this prepared place. It's not only described in the terms of it being the Father's house, it's the company that's been invited. The people for whom the place is prepared. That's the other thing that characterizes it. I go to prepare a place for you, it says in verse 2 of John chapter 14. He goes to prepare a place. He goes to prepare his Father's house for you. Who's the you? Think of who some of the disciples are. Think of how they've acted. Have they been confused? Yeah. Did the Lord Jesus have to suffer long with them? Absolutely. Did some of them even think they needed to correct Jesus and tell him the way it should go? Like Peter told him when Jesus said he had to die. Peter says, no, you're not going to die. Yeah. Further, what will describe them? What kind of people are these? These are the people who, when the soldiers come, will take off on him and leave him behind. Forsake him and abandon him. These are the people who will deny him when they say, don't you know him? Surely you're a Galilean too. Those are the types of people this place is prepared for. Think of King David, a man after God's own heart. What do we know about him? Mighty warrior, gifted musician, amazing king, murderer and adulterer and a liar who for the sake of his unbelief has to pretend he's crazy like a dog. That's who he goes to prepare the place for. What about your life? What about your life? Is it a place for you? Is it a place for people who don't always understand Jesus? Place for people who deny him? Place for liars, thieves, murderers, adulterers? He goes to prepare a place for those kind of people. Is that you? He might say, oh no, that's not me. That's not me. I'm not one of those people. I have it right. I've lived faithfully. I've been a good person. I'm not like those other people. Then this isn't the place for you. This isn't the place for you. The Jerusalem from above, the Jerusalem from above, the heavenly city where God's dwelling place will be with men, is for sinners, for publicans who smote their breasts and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. It is not for Pharisees. It is not for those people under the law. It is for those people who are on Mount Zion, not on Mount Sinai. It is for those people who are the sons and daughters of Sarah, not those people who are the sons and daughters of Hagar. It is for those people who have no righteousness of their own and are looking to God for it, not people who have a righteousness of their own and don't need His. It is for people who are under grace, who have been delivered from the law, not for people who embrace the law to demonstrate their holiness. It is for people like Paul, who have been taught by the Spirit's use of the law, that they are breakers of the law. They were alive, but they see their dead in trespasses and sins, and they look to God for deliverance. That's who this place is prepared for. You might say it's a place for which none of us is worthy. And if you ever start to think you need to be worthy of heaven, you're wrong. The only one worthy of heaven is the Lord Jesus. The only one worthy for heaven is the Lord Jesus. And we must always remember that. We must always remember that. But secondly, if it's a place for you, we always have to remember it's not only a place we're not worthy of, but we also have to remember it's a place that He is worthy of. So it must be greater than all others. It's a place He is worthy of. So it must be a place greater than all others. It's His Father's house. It's His Father's house. Who is His Father? And the stars go in the sky. Just a breath, and the universe springs into existence. We marvel at things like church ceilings in Italy that are painted by brilliant painters. We marvel at brilliant buildings designed by brilliant architects. We even marvel at handiwork and craft molding and simple buildings as we recognize what some would call the commonplace artistry. What about the house of the living God, who invented the concept of beauty that is connected to His own being? What kind of house is that? Even the temple in the Old Testament, with all its beauty, with all its gold, with all its intricate design, even Solomon says in his prayers, nothing compared to God who dwells in a temple made without hands. It's His Father's house. His Father's house. A house greater than all others. And if the doors everlasting must open the way for the King of all glory to ascend, and even though the people are sinners, they are righteous in that ascending King, how much more will they all not be accepted with Him? If Queen Elizabeth herself were to come and her entourage would be welcome, how much more the people Jesus died for? How much more those people that have come to Him in repentance and faith, the ones He purchased with His own blood, how much more would they not be welcome in such a place? And what a place! What do we know about that place? Water clear as crystal. What do we know about that place? Fruit from the trees for the healings of the nations. What do we know about that place? God wiping away the tears of the eyes of His people. No more death. No more night. No more sea. None of those things that would scare people. What is that place? God with His people. Ever providing, ever caring, ever loving. That's that place. That's the Father's house. Is it fun to go to your friend's house? Why do you like to go to your friend's house? Your friend's toys always seem better than yours. Maybe sometimes your friend's mom's cookies seem better than your mom's cookies. It's always fun to go visit somebody else's house. This is something so much greater than that. This is the place where there is no more sin, no more death, no more pain, no more sickness. And you have the love and blessed care of God in your senses and feelings always. As you have had your sin removed. Not only now as God's people stand before Him innocent, but now they really are having their indwelling sin removed. No more battle between the flesh and the spirit. No more fighting to pray. No more fighting to tell the truth. No more fighting to resist all the evil temptations in the world. You're in the Father's house. A greater house than any other. And I guess, I suppose that's the greatest miracle of it all, isn't it? The defining thing about that house. The Lord's ascending was to His Father, significant for Him and for us. He's going there, and really the significance of it all culminates in preparing a place that is His Father's house, and a place that is particularly for us. And that culminates and rolls over to the striking thing that this is all so we would be with Him. That's the way the verses flow. We're told to believe Him to find peace for our troubled hearts. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place. That's what we considered in our first 2 points, verse 2. And now in verse 3, And if I go and prepare a place for you, that's what He got done talking about in verse 2. I will come again and receive you unto myself. That. And here's the reason for it all. The reason for it all. That where I am, there ye may be also. That's the whole point of it all. Notice the grand point, that there ye may be also, is in the context of His assuring return. He's only going away ultimately to come back. He is going away, like we've seen, because He's completing His work. Because the Spirit needs to come, but it's because He wants us to behold His glory. We see that another way here. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. He is assuring us of His return. Of His return. I will come again. I will come again. Their hearts were troubled. Remember, He says, believe me. I'm leaving you. Believe me. Trust me. I'm leaving you because I have to. I'm going to go prepare a place. And don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe me. I might be leaving, but I'm coming again for you. I'm coming again for you. We could say the ascension always has with it the context of the return of Christ. Remember, even the angels, as they beheld the men beholding Jesus. The Lord Jesus ascends, and there they are watching Him ascend. And they're watching Him ascend into heaven, and the angels are like, what are you standing here? He gave you work to do. He will come back the same way He ascended. Don't you remember? He's preparing the place for you. He's going to come back for you. It assures us of His return. If you're ever prone to doubt the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, as many people often are, Rest in his ascension. Rest in his resurrection. Rest in his incarnation. He came to redeem us so we could be with him as part of his family. He came in the first place to make us a part of his family so we could be in his Father's house, our Father's house. And he is coming back. His ascension assures us of his return, but it also assures us of our reception, of our reception. He says that again, rather simply. He has already said, I go to prepare a place for you. And then he says, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Why? Why will we be received by him? Because he wants to be with us. He wants to be with us. I gave you the example earlier of people offering an invitation to come over to their house. But so often, sometimes, we think, oh, they don't really mean it. Don't really mean it. They don't want me. And we saw in the context of that illustration, the problem is with us, not the people making the invitation. The Lord Jesus wants sinners to come to him. The Lord Jesus wants sinners to be with him. You can be assured of your reception. How? Because he ascended. And because he wants to be with you. It's very instructive, isn't it? Very instructive. It's like talking to someone who was at an historical event. A historical event, something amazing that maybe they didn't realize how amazing it was at the time, but they can tell you the details. That's why so many historians will look back on what ended up becoming big events and want to try and interview people that were there or read their diaries or find their letters. It's amazing to talk to someone that lived through an historical event. And it's amazing when people realize something was a really big and significant event. And so often the scholars want primary, original sources, not what somebody said about what somebody said about what somebody said. Here we have one of the most significant events in the history of the universe before it comes to pass. And the one who brings it to pass tells us all about it. What is the ascension all about? Real simple. I go to prepare a place for you. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Sometimes it's hard to trust different people's interpretation of great historical events. When you live through the event, you see it in a subjective way, and you don't see all the details. A historian is objective and removed from the details, but he doesn't have the first-hand knowledge. Our Lord Jesus has it all. And if you ever wonder what the significance of the ascension is and what it is for you, it's right here. It's right here. Child of God, your Savior has gone ahead to prepare a place for you so you may be with him. That must inform all of our thoughts and our lives. It will be that which, by the grace of God, quiets our troubled hearts. Further, if you are not a child of God, what do you have compared to the Father's house? What do you have? Be honest with yourself. I have my money. I have my wife. I have my kids. I have my stuff, and I have death. I have sickness. I have weakness. I have infirmity. That's what I have. Be honest. No glorious house you have built, no glorious house you live in, no matter how great, compares to your Father's house. Don't be content with the dust and the huts and the tents of this world. Come, live in the heavenly Jerusalem. Come. Come to the Father's house. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, our blessed Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for the work of the Lord Jesus and His ascension. And we pray, Lord, that Thy people would hear that call. Those, Lord, who have never given serious thought to the work of the ascending and our Lord Jesus' own interpretation of it. For those, Lord, who are doubting, assure them with Thy words and comfort them with Thy great works. And we ask, Lord, that the fullness of sinners would come. Come to the Father's house. And what a blessing, Lord, that for the first time after so many weeks, we may come and worship. Lord, bless us who are here. Remember those who are still joining us, Lord, through the electronic means. And in due time, Lord, let us all come. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.